So far throughout this school year, we've been focusing on the different portions of the Bethany Blueprint, those core values that we hold as a congregation, as followers of Jesus Christ. And this month, our focus is on forming spiritually. Well, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus, and how are we formed in different ways in our spiritual walk with God? Before we dive in, I want to give you a little example that kind of set us up as to where we're going. In the summer of 1999, Jill and I took a trip with some other family friends to Europe. It was my first trip going overseas, and we started in Moscow. Jill's brother was working there, and just to prove it to you, I have a picture to show you. I was actually there. Yes, that's me on the left, darker hair, less weight on. But we're there with good old Lenin. Now, of course, not the real Lenin. Just like if you would go to the Chinese theater and take your picture with Darth Vader or Spider-Man there at Red Square, you take your picture with Lenin. Now, the real Lenin is kind of right behind my brother's left shoulder there, lying in state, and we did get to see that as well. But to say the least, traveling to a country that doesn't speak English, that has an alphabet that is completely different, causes quite a bit of hurdles. It was difficult to get around. It was difficult to communicate. We couldn't didn't have an easy way to talk to one another. We had to lean on my brother-in-law and some of his coworkers and friends to kind of get around. Now, unlike places that use a Latin alphabet, reading signs is almost impossible in Russia. The letters that we think we might know the sounds make a completely different sound, and it's pretty difficult. You don't have the truth revealed to you. I want to show you a sign, and maybe you might know it, but this is a sign written in Cyrillic. Maybe if you know Cyrillic or Russian, you might be able to figure it out. But if you don't, if you don't have the truth revealed to you, and if you're driving and you see this sign and you don't do what that sign says, you're going to have some problems. Now, without context or revelation, the meanings and words or signs and the ideas behind it can remain hidden. Sort of like the cookie jar we talked about. We don't really know what's in there. But if I give you a little bit of context, if we see the next one, maybe you can see what this sign is. Stop. Now, you're probably not going to see it necessarily looking like that. You're going to see it the other way. But if you don't have the context, if the truth hasn't been revealed to you, you're going to be in trouble. But now, once what was once hidden is now revealed, and now as you're driving, you're probably going to stop. Now, if you sound this out in Cyrillic, you know what it says? Stop. That's how you pronounce it. Yeah, S-T-O-P. Yeah, it's stop. Believe it or not, all right? Now that you know that, you get by a little bit. Now, imagine, if you will, you needed to ride the busiest metro in the world, the Moscow metro. It was one of the things we had to do on a daily basis, and it was intimidating. You can't read the words. You don't know where you're going. You can't really understand what people are saying. And here's a small map. If you've been to London, London's got nothing on the Moscow Metro. It is complex. It is convoluted. You can't read where you're going or what you're going to do, where you need to transfer, what direction you need to go. If the truth hasn't been revealed to you, you can't go any further. You're not going to make it to your destination. You're not going to meet your party at the next place. Now, if there's no way to get through this, what do you do? Well, as we were traveling on the Moscow Metro, my wife said it was kind of like a lesson in faith. She would just be told when to get on and told when to get off. She had no way of doing it on her own. The truth had to be revealed to her through another. And she said it was kind of like being illiterate. No way you could get through this crazy mess. Now, before the trip, I had worked a little bit on my Cyrillic alphabet. I could sound some of the words out. I had a small collection of Russian phrases that I could use, and I felt okay, but now I was in no way ready to translate anything. But a few days into the trip, I started to feel a little bit more comfortable, and even though my wife was freaking out a little bit, I said that we could traverse the Moscow Metro on our own. And we never got lost once. We got to our destination. The truth had been revealed to me. I was able to make it happen. And that similar process of revelation, formation, and illumination is something that we had to do while we were in Russia, but it's something we see in the pages of Scripture, too. Actually, we go back to the very beginning, the first page of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how the whole narrative begins, and it follows the same pattern of revelation, formation, illumination. As God revealed himself and his plan to form the world out of nothing, and then he said, let there be light, and there was light. And there was light to illuminate the entire world. Revelation, formation, illumination. We see that process happen in story after story in the pages of Scripture, but we also know what happened at the beginning. It wasn't long before this world was now deformed, was deformed by sin, plunged into darkness, distress, and despair. What was a perfect revealed plan now seemed to be hidden. That lid was on the cookie jar. Didn't know what God was doing. The signs were not able to be understood. And time again, humanity makes the poor decision, goes the wrong way, tries to do things on their own. And this is a story that's not just about those people. It's also a story about these people gathered here. We all have been deformed by sin. None of us seeks after God. We like things our own way, and we actually don't desire the things that God desires. Down deep in our heart, we want it ourselves. We are corrupted and deformed by the sin that is so prevalent in our world. We wish that God's love were conditional. That it was only for those who look like me or act like me or vote like me. But as we heard last week, it's not a political issue, but it's a personal one and a theological one. It was God himself who had the plan, that perfect revealed plan to form us in his image, to have us be lights to the world, but we have ruined it all. But God's plan is better than our plan. God had a plan, and it was revealed when his son was born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might be formed and adopted to bring light to the world. It's what the season of Epiphany is all about. We've been talking about that over the last couple of weeks. Epiphany means revelation or manifestation. That which was once hidden has now been revealed. The lid's been taken off the cookie jar. We understand the language a little bit better. And it's all about this revelation that leads to formation and eventually illumination. God has revealed himself to you. He does it first and foremost in his word. It was the word that was made flesh as he took on the form of humanity to reveal to us his divinity and to bring light and forgiveness through his life, death, and resurrection. God has revealed his plan to you as you come to the waters of baptism. Whether you remember it or not, he has claimed you as his own. His name is upon you. He claims, or he brings it, reveals it to you every time you hear his word proclaimed, every time you read it. For all of those things that deform you, for all those things you can't stop doing, and for all those things you can't seem to do, the revelation of God's word is that you are forgiven in Jesus Christ. For his word always drives us to Jesus. And forming spiritually is not really about adding another list of things to do, but coming to understand what has already been done for you in Christ. This is not just your story. We see this story played out in countless lives, including the Apostle Paul. I'm going to invite you to open up your worship folders to that second lesson, the 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, or pull it up on your device if you want to take a look at it that way. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. He had visited there already, and he was nervous. He knew that he couldn't lean on his own understanding, so he focused on one thing. This is what he writes. Brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I didn't speak about God's mystery as if it were some kind of brilliant message or wisdom. While I was with you, I decided to deal with only one subject, Jesus Christ, who was crucified. When I came to you, I was weak. I was afraid and very nervous. I didn't speak my message with persuasive intellectual arguments. I spoke my message with a show of spiritual power, so that your faith would not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power. Your faith is also based not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Paul makes it clear, this is not rocket science. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ that provides the formation for who we are. It's not in a search for wisdom or an ascent for knowledge or the conviction of intellectual arguments. This wisdom is not an accomplishment by a person, but is the manifestation of a person. The revelation of Jesus Christ for us, for you, for the forgiveness of sins. And this revelation always leads to formation. The revelation of Jesus Christ that comes into our ears, into our lives, transforms us, reminds us that we are His. And as we talk about the Bethany blueprint being formed spiritually, it comes from this revelation of Scripture. That which was hidden has now been revealed to you. That's what you didn't know before, now you know. And we're going to deal with one subject. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This word drives us to Jesus. But sometimes people get stuck here. Yeah, we've heard the word. It's that sweet treat that's in the cookie jar. Pastor Seth, we heard it. But we want to come back to it over and over again. So we turn it into a work. We turn it into something we have to do. We feel guilty when we don't do it. But if you've been around here, you've heard me say, we're not called to do, but we're called to be. It's not in the things that you do, it's who you are in Jesus Christ. You are a forgiven child of God. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been given the cookies in the cookie jar free of charge. And God calls you back again and again and again to be formed spiritually by Jesus Christ who comes to you. Now, I know some of you in this room are new to Christianity. Some of you can't remember a Sunday when you weren't in church, and maybe some of you are in between. Some of you have read your Bible from cover to cover. Others of you have read bits and pieces, and some of you are just beginning to scratch the surface. But no matter where you are in this continuum, spiritual formation is something that God has called us to be. Not necessarily something to do. And since we are in Christ, we come back to that cookie jar again and again and again. If you're not attending a regular Bible study where the Word of God is revealed to you, I want to encourage you to find one. If you don't know of one, you can contact me or Pastor Kevin or Carl, and we'll get you connected. And I know what some of you are thinking too. Well, I don't have the skills to be in that room. Everybody in there knows a whole lot more than me, and I'm just going to feel dumb and stupid the entire time. But let me tell you, sometimes the teacher learns a whole lot more than the students. Everybody is called to be formed spiritually. If Bible reading or daily devotions is not something that you regularly do, I'm going to invite you to find a way to regularly do that. In the back, there's these little books called Portals of Prayer. And in them, there's a Bible reading, there's a little devotion and a prayer that can get you started on this journey of forming spiritually to get you into the habit. You know, there's this famous quote. It's been attributed to lots of different people, but I did some research this week, and it seems that the nugget of this quote comes from the church father Gregory the Great from about the 4th century, and it says, "Scripture is like a river. It's broad and it's deep, shallow enough for the lamb to go wading, but deep enough for the elephant to swim." The scripture that has been revealed to you is not too deep that you're going to drown. They say that it's shallow enough and easy enough for a child to understand, but deep enough for you to be engaged and being formed spiritually for your entire lifetime. And like Paul, we deal with one subject, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again for our forgiveness. So I ask, what are you waiting for? Scripture has been revealed to you. If English isn't your heart language, the scriptures have been translated in many, many, many different languages for you to see the wonderful gift of salvation that has been given to you in Christ. God is in the formation business. He's revealed an amazing message for you. He's calling you to the cookie jar. Let me give you one more short story of encouragement. My grandfather didn't get past about the 5th grade. He grew up in the Depression and had to leave school in order to work on the family farm. And eventually the family lost the farm, and he had a rough, hard life. But every day that we visited with my grandparents, every time we gathered for dinner, now, those in the Midwest, you know that's the noontime meal, all right? Every time we gathered for dinner, right after it, my grandpa would take out his well-worn Bible and his edition of Portals of Prayer. He would read through the verses, and he would read through the devotion. And he stumbled over some of the words, and he struggled over some of the meanings, but he knew that he was being formed spiritually, and he let the light of Christ shine for his grandkids, for his kids, for his wife in those moments. Now, was my grandpa a perfect person? No. But he knew that a life of spiritual formation was something that happens each and every day. And really, that's what our gospel lesson is getting to. I'm going to ask you to look at that gospel lesson from Matthew, the 5th chapter. As Jesus is talking about those who are being form spiritually, we shine the light of Christ. I want you to hear the words of Jesus again, starting at verse 14. "You are light for the world. A city cannot be hidden when it is located on a hill. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, everyone who lights a lamp puts it on a lampstand. Then its light shines on everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine in front of people, for they will see the good that you do and praise your Father in heaven." Revelation, formation, illumination. No one is formed spiritually to do nothing. So let your light shine. And in so doing, you are being formed, serving your neighbor, and giving praise to the Father in heaven, and calling more people back to the cookie jar to see his wonderful love and grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us in the words and pages of Scripture. Lord, we ask that you would use your word to form us as your children, forgiven by Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that your revealed word drives us to Jesus Christ, who's the one who does the transforming and the formation. So now, Lord, because of this, let us shine our lights to illuminate the world so that many more may see the sweetness of your message. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.